call to order this meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission for May 22nd, 2019. I'd like to begin with the acknowledgement that we're on the lands of the Puyallup Nation ceded in the Medicine Creek Treaty, over which they've retained the rights to hunt, fish, and gather. Begin with a roll call here. Commissioners Sundstrom, Stewart, Mortensen, Johnson, House, and Bartoy, and ex officio McClintock are present. We have, I don't want to jump to my excuse absences yet, so we'll stick with that and excuse people later. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any additions, adjustments to the consent agenda?
No.
Hearing none, I have one correction to the consent agenda. Amy Figueroa should be Aubrey Pike.
Huh.
That would be the correction. Is there any objection to that correction? Hearing none, is there any objection to moving forward with the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, so moved by unanimous consent. Now we shall excuse the absences. So we have excusal of absences from Commissioners Morgenroth and Schlesser this evening. We're moving to the approval of the minutes from the meeting of May 8th, 2019. Are there any corrections to the minutes of May 8th? Hearing none, is there any objection to moving forward accepting the minutes by unanimous consent? Hearing none, we'll accept those minutes into the record by unanimous consent. Moving forward, we had four administrative reviews. I take it since they are still listed as administrative reviews, no commissioners had any comments, questions, concerns. I'd just like to raise that. And hearing none, we'll move to our first real item of business this evening. So we will have a public hearing that I will now call to order for the naming request of the, I'm gonna get the French name wrong now and get the sheet seed name correct. So this will be, my wife will be angry with me. The Rhone Poulenc salt marsh to the Quai Quillot, which means the salt marsh, so we'll go with that. Do we have, well, welcome, do we have Carol Kent here?
I'm here in lieu of
you can come up and sit here, and I was just going to ask for a staff report prior, and then we'll give you a chance to comment, and then we'll open it up for public comment.
Okay.
So, pursuant to Council Resolution 3091, the Landmarks Preservation Commission is a body that reviews and makes recommendations to City Council for name change requests. The purpose of this hearing tonight is to receive comments on the naming request. And following the public hearing, the public record is open for 30 days minimum to allow for additional comment. After the comment period, the Landmarks Preservation Commission will forward a recommendation to City Council for further review. So this is agenda item 4A, 1747 Porter Tacoma Road, the Rhone Poulenc salt marsh. 350 Tacoma, in consultation with the Puyallup Tribe and the City of Tacoma Environmental Services Department, is requesting that the Rhone Poulenc salt marsh at 1747 Porter Tacoma Road be renamed Quai Quillot. This is a Tuleshoot seed name that translates to Little Marsh. The name change would reflect the ecological and cultural diversity of the site. The Tuleshoot seed name was suggested by the Puyallup Language Program. Over the last year, outreach about the name change was conducted during restoration and reclaiming events led by 350 Tacoma and Earth Corps with participation from the City of Tacoma. Information about the work parties has been included in the packet, which is, I think, in this packet and prior packets when the commission set the public hearing. The current name, Rhone Poulenc, comes from a French pharmaceutical company which no longer operates at the site. After the name change, the intention is to work with the Puyallup Tribe on interpretive signage. On April 24th, the Landmarks Preservation Commission voted to schedule this hearing. And tonight, there is no action required. As I stated before, the comment period will automatically remain open for 30 days following the close of the hearing.
Thank you very much. And then for the record, could you both state your names and then?
My name is Joy Caddock.
And I'm Bradley Thompson.
I'll open it up for you to provide comment.
Okay. We're co-stewards of the marsh through 350 Tacoma and Earth Corps. And pretty much you've said everything that's going on. I think what I'd like to put forth is, as we've been working with this marsh since January of 2018, taking out the invasive plants, putting in native plants, restoring the health. There's a goose family that lives there now, little just habitat for small animals, and as your heart kind of grows into this marsh, you realize it's not named correctly. You know, like a chemical company or pharmaceutical company doesn't really describe what is going on there now, and I really am interested in describing it by name so we can really live into it, into that place.
And I might just add that I see it not as a... as a new name or a replacement name, it's really restoring what once was a native place name. And so the name translates to Little Marsh, which is exactly what it is. It's a tiny 1.5 acre marsh in the middle of the industrial tide flats. So it's really just acknowledging what it is, but also acknowledging that that once was a native Puyallup land.
Thank you. And I just acknowledge that Commissioner Williams has entered. And I will, do we have the, we have it right in front of me. I was going to call, Joy is here, Kavik, Lucas, and Danbergs.
What was that?
Danbergs.
Danbergs? Mm-hmm. Would you like to make a comment?
Yeah. So I'm also involved with 350, and I've spent a lot of time down on the marsh helping to restore it. And I'm in support of the name change. I'm really excited about it. I spoke with Amber Hayward from the Puyallup Language Program a couple days ago because I wanted to clarify the pronunciation of it. So I have it from her mouth, and she sent me a recording of it too, which is great. The first sound, the QW, it sounds like a K, but usually in English, the K is kind of from the front of your throat, like cut, and there, that sound is from the back of the throat. And then the little W means you round your mouth, so it's like kuh, kuh, with a lot of air. And the I is an A sound, so it goes Kwe-kwa-lut, Kwe-kwa-lut. So it was really helpful for her to help us with the pronunciation. You know, I'm excited that I can say it the right way as well.
Would it be okay if we have my son has been working on Marsh too, and he didn't sign his name, but if you just said a little
bit. Sure. You want to come up on it? You want to state your name for the record?
My name is Shell, and I actually also really want that the other name, the name that my papa was describing.
Great, thank you so much. All right, now we have Richard and Elizabeth Dorset.
Different topic,
okay. So we do not have Richard and Elizabeth Dorset. We have Rome Johansson? Rome?
Ron.
Ron Johansson. Different topic. Steve Tompkins?
That would be the...
Different topic. Karen Harding?
Different topic.
Bradley Thompson? And that was you. So I guess, is there anyone else that did not sign that wanted to give public comment this evening on the renaming?
I have something to ask after too.
You have things after your name?
Shell Caddick Danvers.
Shell Caddick. Now you're officially on the record in the city of Tacoma, and you will be online shortly because we are being recorded right now. So you are a member of the public. It's voice of business. Thank you. Awesome. So with that, if there's no further comment, I am going to close the public comments for the evening. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
And we will move on to board briefings for this evening. We have two board briefings. We have one from 715 North Ainsworth in the North Slope, Dennis Killian. And anyone else can come up to the table here. And then we're going to have a staff report.
Awesome. Thank you.
We're going to have a staff report and then allow you to add on if you'd like.
Thank you. Built in 1907, this is a contributing property in the North Slope Historic District. The applicant is proposing to replace 8 windows on the first floor. 3 of the windows are not historic. The owner is proposing vinyl windows, which they have already purchased with a grant from Tacoma Public Utilities. The home is located in the alley and is not visible from the street. They have submitted photos of these conditions. Staff has been in contact with the Energy Conservation Program staff at TPU, who were not aware that this home was in the historic district. Action requested. This is an informal briefing, so no action is requested. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will go ahead and open it for any comments that you'd like to make.
No, my name's Dennis Killian, and she covered it very well.
She covered it very well?
Read the information off there, and we would, the windows are already purchased, so if we're not allowed to put them in, then they end up in the dump. It was a situation where the city of Tacoma Power did all the application work and was not aware that it was in the historic district. We didn't give it any thought because, you can't even see the house from the street. So you can see it from the alley, but it's basically right on the alley. And three of the windows, I don't think you would consider historic, but they're just large paned glass stopped in around with the perimeter with wood.
And before I open up for questions, Commissioner Stewart, did you want to?
Yes, I just want to be on the record that my spouse works at Tacoma Public Utilities and is involved with the Energy Conservation Program.
Thank you. And now I'll open it up for questions or comments from the commission. Keep in mind, this is a briefing, so seeking feedback on this. No action requested.
Mr. Killian, can you kind of walk the commission through how the TPU grant process works? I mean, Mrs. Gordon, I guess, contacted your company at some point. Is that the way it worked? And
well, in this case, this is a low-income person, obviously, to qualify for the grant, and their energy bills were quite high, so Tacoma Power pursued them to see if they were interested in having the work done.
Okay.
They did the application work, which typically we would do the application if we processed the whole thing, but they had to get bids, so we were one of the contractors they called out for bids.
Okay.
We gave bids, and then Tacoma Power approved the grant, approved our bid on the project. We proceeded to order the windows, and typically we order windows right as soon as we get the grant because it takes a couple weeks to get them manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
And then we apply for the permit because we do that online, and it only takes about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I went online to apply, we found out that no, you can't get a permit for this.
Yeah.
So then we already had the windows delivered and are kind of stuck.
So essentially, this was all pretty much driven by TPU and,
yes,
and you were a contractor that was bidding on the process.
Correct. So we're one of their approved contractors. That we do this type of work all the time. That sometimes the customer calls us, sometimes we find
sure,
the customer.
Sure, sure. Yeah. One of my concerns, having looked at the house, as I'm sure you have as well, is that switching out these windows really isn't going to make much difference. That there's a lot of deferred maintenance on this property to be addressed, and that I'm wondering if. If perhaps, something like a group like Rebuilding South Sound or even a larger grant from the single family residence program that the city has would be more helpful in this case than simply switching out windows. I mean, on the one hand, obviously, as the Historic Commission, we're interested in retaining historic fabric,
sure,
of the houses and so forth. And it just, when I started looking at this and looked at the house and went by it and so forth, I was just beginning to think, wow, I'm not sure that window replacement's going to do much good here. So do you know whether TPU did energy analysis, a modeling program to see if it, I know they do that on some instances.
I think primarily is what they look at is the electric usage.
The usage.
Prior to that time.
Okay.
And they have also insulated the home too. That's already been done.
Okay, they've already done that.
Yes.
Okay.
show you that, you can see one of the whole plugs there.
Yeah. Well, just a little background for the commission. This little house, as Mr. Killian pointed out, is right on the alley. It was built a year after the much larger house that sits at 717 next door. Although I do not know for certain, it's likely that this building was initially built as a garage, possibly. It's a little too small in terms of height to be a stable per se, but many houses at this time did have what were essentially small barns for livestock and so forth and so on. And so my guess is that because it is right on, in fact, if you look at it, it's actually a little bit over the property line on the alleyway or into the right-of-way, but that it was probably built as a garage or something, and at some point was transformed into a dwelling, which makes it very invisible from the street. however, it still does retain interesting aspects and integrity, and some of the windows are indeed probably original windows, at least to when it, as you can see, the multi light window there, the two lower ones on the back side there, on the first level, and then in the upper part there, there's I think a broken one, a window up there that's just sort of hanging there. I don't know whether the framing is original or not, but. While on the one hand, as an advocate for the neighborhood, I would certainly like to see the original windows retained and repaired, or storm windows put over those. You know, in the areas where, in this instance, for example, where we aren't dealing with historic material, perhaps not vinyl windows, but nonetheless, I mean, I'm less concerned about these, but I do think we do have an obligation to retain as much of the historic material as possible.
Well, and on these three windows, you can't actually see those from anywhere unless you, because it's kind of an L shape. And we would be happy just to replace those three, since those are the largest three of, so they're the probably 50% of the cost of the windows there. Yeah. That are there that we've already spent. So we would be happy to leave the rest of them and just replace those three. If you consider those not historic, I think that would fit with being able to replace
and
them.
This is a little bit different concern than the windows per se, but I mean, obviously, I think we need to have a conversation with TPU to make sure that this situation doesn't occur again.
Well, I know one reason it will never occur again with me, because before I order windows,
you'll
I'm
check.
Going to get permit.
Yeah.
Get permit first, then order windows.
Yeah. Well, that was another question I wanted to ask you, but you explained that in the course.
So in this, there we are having an organization discussion coming up with TPU. This has been, I mean, this program has been around for a while, and in the past they have done a good job checking with our office on this program. Something has changed, so maybe there's a missing link. Just to clarify, those plate glass windows, the stopped-in windows, are right inside here, around the corner there, on that side of the house. Okay.
Yeah, they're around the corner.
Okay. And this is the alley.
Yes.
Any other questions, comments from the commission?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, in the historic district, when you've got a contributing structure, just since you're a contractor working in the neighborhood, it doesn't matter whether you can see it from the street or not. If it's a contributing structure, it has to be protected, and the architectural heritage of the property has to be maintained. So.
Right, and typically, like say, we check those things if we do the application, but in this case, the application coming through Tacoma Power, and they we're looking for people that were using on low income that were using a lot of electricity, and so I think they just kind of forgot about the other part. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
And I guess the thing I wanted to say is just, you know, as a commission, we have to be equitable and fair to everyone that comes before us. Windows are a frequent flyer before us. And, you know, we have the guidelines, which you may have had a chance to see, which really kind of go through a phased approach at the replacement of windows.
Right.
You know, and this one, I think, you know, in particular is in section 3.6 here, sustainable and thermal retrofitting. Even within that, you know, this is a very kind of narrow segment of window replacement. It talks about the steps to go through to kind of make those types of justifications. So I think that as a commissioner, you know, that's what we have to follow, because someone else comes before us and they're going to ask those same questions. So we need to make sure that we're grounded in something, and you know, those are the guidelines for that. So that would be, you know, my consideration, I guess. Overall, the fact that there are non-historic windows that, you know, they're non-historic, it seems, to begin with, but then they're non-visible. Except from within the property itself. I mean, I think it falls within the number four in section three, which, you know, we don't require upgrading or, you know, they are non-historic, so you wouldn't be preserving historic windows. So me personally, and I mean, it would be something that would have to come before the commission, most likely for a vote, unless the commission felt comfortable with an administrative review. But for those windows, for me personally, I could see replacing those. Any commissioners else have thoughts?
Routinely, Ruben, for an administrative review, would that be something you would approve for non-historic windows?
If someone came to us with a proposal to replace a stopped-in glass window in an existing wood frame with an insert window, and it was vinyl, we consider that to be a non-historic window replacement, we'd probably put it out for administrative review and see if the commission had any concerns. We do that with vinyl for vinyl. We do that with aluminum windows that are going to vinyl. And so in the case of a window that's completely missing, just a piece of glass has been put in with quarter round, we'd probably do the same thing.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that as well.
And Ms. Gordon's still living there, right?
Is yes.
Okay. Any other comments? And do you feel like you've gotten the feedback? I know we're not requesting anything from us this evening, but you have the feedback that you need from us?
Well, I accept. I don't know how to proceed to try and get those three replaced if I can, because obviously they're not going to give me a permit until you allow that to do those three.
I guess I would say that based on, I'm not hearing any strong feedback on this, so if that's kind of the consensus opinion, then what I would do is I would post a notice to the commission for a 24-hour review for those three windows on the non-visible side of the house, and we wouldn't go through any further landmarks review if there was none requested by the commission.
Okay.
And then and then after that 24-hour period, we could sign your permit.
Okay, so...
So what do I
need to do? You guys are used to doing this stuff.
We'll be in contact with you tomorrow.
Okay.
If that's the feedback I'm receiving.
You have everything you need from him.
Yes, you have everything you need from me.
Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Great.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you. The curiosity question, do you know about the TP program? Does it provide storm windows, or is it strictly... final replacement?
This
is part of your conversation.
Yeah, there's a longer answer to that. Basically, the as I understood it, because Commissioner McClintock posed this question as well, that there's a calculation done with estimated kilowatt savings, and they pay like 80% of that, or 80 cents on the kilowatt or something like that, in grant costs. And in the case of something, a situation like this, they didn't think that it was something to pencil out. And it's not something that they consider the historic, currently anyways, consider the historic status when they're making that that estimation. And that's part of, actually in about 3 weeks, I'm going to be over at TPU meeting with their residential conservation staff to talk about this issue, to make sure that we're aligned so we're not putting property owners in this position in the future.
Thank you.
Great. We have one other board briefing this evening. So this is for 811 North Ainsworth within the new North Slope Historic District. And Anthony Guido.
Yes.
Anthony Guido, you can appear.
And then do we have a staff report?
Yeah, as soon as I find it.
Yes. Do you want me to riff for a little bit?
You can, sure you can. So this is 811 North Ainsworth in the North Slope Historic District. And I know the commission is aware of this, as the people in the audience are. The house that was there was built in 1890, or circa 1890, and was a contributing property in the North Slope Historic District. On or around the 9th of March, the house was essentially demolished during construction activities by the applicant without Landmarks Commission review or approval, or a demolition permit from the city. A partial front wall and porch is what remains of the building, and a stop work order was placed on the house on March 14th. Previously, the Landmarks Commission had approved an addition to the historic house and a new garage on the site on May 11th, 2016, and this approval was extended by staff on May 4th in 2017 for an additional 18 months. On October 11th, 2018, the applicant also submitted revised designs for the garage, which were approved by the commission. So, the sequence is there was a approval for a remodel, an extension of that approval for a remodel. That original approval included the construction of a garage, and then the garage design was subsequently modified, I think, to a gambrel roof, if I'm not mistaken. The applicant is now in the process of seeking approval for a replacement structure to replace the demolished house. The city has instructed the applicant that all applicable building and land use regulations must be met by the new construction, including setback requirements. There might be some additional feedback on that. But the original home on the lot was constructed right on the side yard property line. That would be the property line that is on the, if you're looking at the house on the left. The new design must also meet all applicable design guidelines for the North Slope Historic District. And we have instructed the applicant that the design briefing at the minimum must occur prior to any action being taken on this item. The proposed new construction, which the elevations are in the packet, and I think we'll return to the screen shortly, is a Craftsman-styled house, or Craftsman Revival house, that is 34 feet high. This does appear taller than the adjacent properties, but is within the zoning height limit of 35 feet. The building will be 37 feet wide and, according to the plan, 75 feet long, which combined with the height and the 812 primary roof pitch results in a substantial residence. The primary roof would have a small dormer in the front, as you can see there on the elevation. The proposed front yard setback is shown on the site plan as 20 feet, which is consistent with zoning, but is also deeper than the adjacent homes. And the 6.5 foot side yard setback. I did speak with land use staff as well and understand that the front yard setback may be averaged with the adjacent properties as well for continuity with the surrounding homes. The North Slope wedge design guidelines for new construction apply to this project, including height, massing scale, windows, rhythm of openings, and exterior materials, and these design guidelines were also included in the packet. There is no action requested tonight. This is for feedback. I think I had some other questions from commissioners relating to the building, our plan reviewers' position on this. They considered a new construction. The home could be, there could be a replacement building looking like the one that was removed, but it would not be allowed to be built in the location that the original was built, too close to the side yard setback. And they can possibly build within the setback closer to than zoning typically allows, but it would require fire rating and a limitation on openings and overhangs. And so that would be a discussion that would need to be further undertaken. So that's all I have right now for, I can answer any questions, but this is Mr. Guido, the applicant.
Great. Now, if you want to add anything, Mr. Guido?
No, that was thorough. I wasn't aware of the averaging for the front yard setback. That's good information. I'm open to feedback, you know, whatever is suggested. I'm going to take notes and take it to AutoCAD.
Well, I think given the circumstances of this situation, sorry.
I was going to open it for questions and comments, but we should open the talk.
I think that I think we should stay within the general pattern of the originally approved addition and house size. It obviously, I mean, we've lost an 1888 structure in, but you know, I think that what goes back in should be approximately the same size, same width, same height. I don't see much reason, certainly not to do this. I mean, or excuse me, see reason to basically fill up the lot, which is what this does.
I'm in an agreement.
Should I wait until the end to respond?
Well, this is actually us asking questions and commenting to you right now. So the floor is not yours. The floor is the commission's.
No problem.
I'm in agreement with Marshall and my client doctor. The guidelines are fairly specific about massing. And if you look in the guidelines section 4, the little diagram in the front on the top of it shows your idea as unacceptable. There's smaller houses in a nice row and then one real big one sticking up. And that's labeled incompatible. And the front facade of your plan is so massive, so in your face. It's totally different than the house that was there. You know, it had a small front face, and approval that we gave you was for a small addition in the back, side of the yard. And so that didn't really have any real effect on the street face. And this is definitely considerably bigger and more massive. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
I feel like, you know, we spent a lot of time getting a design that we were comfortable with on that lot with the existing property. And the approval was given to you to construct the property, you know, at the back. And if there were any, you know, deteriorated or rotted or anything that was wrong, it was to be replaced in kind. And that certainly hasn't happened. It was removed. And I feel like you've got a plan already that we've approved. And, you know, it may not, you may have to slide it on the lot to meet the side setback, but ultimately you've got a plan that's already been approved, including a garage, and that would be what I would like to see go back on that lot.
I'd just also like to comment that this really isn't a Craftsman Revival style home. It's missing a lot of the artificial features that would qualify it to be that. It's got a mixed match of different architectural vocabularies. It's got very little information as to the level of detail for the casework around the windows, what kinds of shadow lines, what thicknesses of materials. I know that you indicated the materials themselves, but there's a lot more that goes into a historic home to make it look historic than just a double hung wood window with divided upper lights. So we've lost an original, and I think, you know, our expectation, this is a historic preservation district, is that anything that's new should blend in with the neighborhood and should be historic seeming in nature. I would recommend that you look at the American Field Guide to Houses so you can familiarize yourself with the different features that fit with the different architectural styles and maybe circle back to the original building so you can appreciate what was the stylistic nature of this original house.
Okay. Comments?
I just say that I agree with all the comments that have been made. Kent is ready to add. I certainly strongly agree.
Any other commissioners comments, questions? I think coming before us now with, you know, like Commissioner Williams said, you had a previously approved project. This is very much different than that project. Now that you've removed the house that was there, unpermitted, removed the house that was there. Both, I mean, permits in terms of our approval as a Landmarks Commission, but in terms of approvals from the City of Tacoma. And potentially, you know, it is not our purview, but potentially created a dangerous situation as well out for the citizens of Tacoma by what was left there. I mean, by the time I saw a front facade that's essentially being held up by 2x4s, you know, my concern was not for the historic preservation, but my concern was for the people that are walking around in that neighborhood. So I think that, I mean, that to me is, it goes beyond the historic preservation issues that we're talking this evening. But in terms of getting back to what we have purview over, I think that the new design that, that you're asking for feedback here, I'm not sure if you actually looked at section 4 of the guidelines for new construction for the historic district and read them through, because I don't see that fitting within those guidelines. And this is something that I think that this commission will take a very close read of as we look at whatever you're putting before us. Personally, for me, the one thing that I would require before even really giving more feedback than this general following the guidelines would be requiring elevations that are showing this in place with the surrounding houses to either side, so that we can actually see the scale and massing, the relationships that are happening there. In much more detail on that. I think that what's proposed here, from what I can tell, in looking at the architectural figures and looking at the photographs before and after, it does seem to be out of scale. It's definitely out of height with the surrounding, and it definitely increases the previous footprint of the building that was there. Any other comments? No? And I can open it back up to you if you have any follow-ups.
That's good feedback. I appreciate that. I'll talk to the owner, give him all this feedback, and be in touch with Ruben. That's good.
I have a question for the commission. Just since we're doing the briefing here, this would be kind of important. Is there any desire to see the fabric that is left of the building tied in any way? Is this physically or constructible, possibly?
I mean, I would like to see that, if it's at all possible, because I think that what we should expect for the main structure there is essentially something that reasonably doesn't replicate, but at least is similar in size and form and mass to what was there. So if that can be done, I think that would be great.
The fact that the sidewalls were torn down precludes him from going back on the same footprint with his existing plan, is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Well, I'm not sure.
I mean, I would be willing to offer a variance to go back on the exact same footprint with the structure that was previously approved, that was torn down.
We unfortunately, that was something that the our residential section felt very strongly about, because it's not near the side yard setback, or not near the side yard property line. It's on it. And so it's just far
too close. The existing house was.
Yes, the existing house was. And so the feedback that I got was they wanted it at least several feet back from that.
Okay.
Now, where exactly that line is, I think that's a discussion that we can have. But when I say, like, you know, when...
And it's all been surveyed, correct?
There is, yes, a surveyed site
plan. And the adjacent properties with regard to their front yard setbacks, you have a survey of that as well?
We do not have that.
That will be required, I'm sure, for land use review. If you're going to do front yard averaging, it'll be helpful to the commission as well.
I already spent a lot of money on the survey. I wasn't aware that is this going to be another cost, the survey that you just mentioned?
I don't know. I mean, okay. I assume so.
Okay. Because I could, I mean, I do definitely Jeff's suggestion. I understand that it's great. I think if, and then the reason why that existing part, the building is still standing was for that exact purpose, to preserve the one unique feature of the building looking from the front, really. And so I'm open to all of that, and I'll take it back to the owner.
Well, but what I've heard, if I'm not mistaken, from Mr. McKnight, is that you're not going to be allowed to build on that footprint.
You have to move the existing.
Yes.
Oh, and that's...
Yes, I think that's
an option.
It's a fire code issue. I mean, that's a discussion that we can continue to have with, and if the commission feels strongly about that, you know, the commission can provide that feedback, but I'll have to, I don't speak for the building official for the city, so.
Well, if it's on the lot line, that's not safe. And I'm in agreement with that. And the fact that it's gone now, to recreate the plan from that was prior approved and slide it, you know, 5 feet over. I think that's and because that house was set so far to the north to start with, I'm fine with taking and reconstructing the plan that's already been approved and just sliding it 5 feet to the south. But again, I feel like what was torn down needs to be replicated. And then the new addition that we had already approved would then, it's kind of a no-brainer for you guys because you've already been through all this process. So to me, that's an approved plan from us. And at that point, you know, as long as you're replicating the historic structure that was torn down, I'm fine with it.
One comment about your concern about the additional survey expense. That's something you need to discuss with the land use reviewers.
Okay.
Generally, whenever you are asking for lenience in the code that relies upon existing nonconformities, you have to document that legally, and that so that it's equitable and that not everybody's out there just throwing their measuring tape to what they think is middle of the road to determine those things, so that you're coming only as far forward as you legally can.
Good.
So that you wouldn't be sued by angry neighbors.
Sure.
So
I'm okay
you can
the,
call back your original surveyors. It'd be fairly easy for them to add that to your existing survey.
That's
but I think in terms of being upset about additional expenses for reviews at this point, it's a little bit upsetting that your frame of mind went to that as an initial reaction, given the circumstances.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there...
And I just wanted to say I want to go... I want to adhere to the setback regulations, the land use code. I want to and will, you know. The averaging thing is the new thing that I wasn't aware of, and I'm open to that as to be in partnership with you and to, you know, make this the best possible outcome for everybody. You know, that's basically what I was attempting to say. And anyways, but I appreciate that, and I apologize to have upset you in my reaction.
Are there, because I'm, well, I guess I could look through there. So were there original windows to the structure that you demolished? And were those saved, salvaged?
Yes, there were. They were not salvageable. They were beyond, they were rotted and not salvageable. The answer. There were several. It was, I think, two existing original ones, and they were in horrible shape. And if you need pictures or would like pictures for...
No, they're gone now. I was just
correct.
I'm talking about your proposal for the future. So,
sure.
Do you have the feedback that you need from us?
I think I do.
Okay.
I think I do, yeah. And I'll touch base with Ruben just to make sure that I had everything correctly.
Is there any additional comments from the commission? Questions? No? Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Now moving on to preservation planning and board business.
So, excuse me.
Oh. Yes?
This is the issue that we have some notes.
It's not a public hearing for that issue.
You called my name earlier.
For the naming. The renaming was a public hearing. So this isn't a public hearing. This is a board briefing.
Oral and or written comments are welcome. Notice.
For this? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that it's typical at a lot of commissions and committee meetings that they have a period either at the beginning or the end of the meeting for public comment on any items that are on the agenda. So I think that since there are folks here that would like to speak perhaps on this issue, that we either do that now or at the end of the meeting.
Okay. Does the commission have a preference? I'd say we go ahead and do it now.
I'd like to hear what the people attending have to say.
Can you state your name for the record?
Richard Dorsett. And I think you've got the gist of the issue. We have a wonderful roadside attraction. We have people stopping four or five times a day to look at all this. However, I've got a couple questions and issues that might be useful for Tony and as for you. One of the big issues is who's going to ride herd on this? Are you guys going to do it? You talk about a design building process that's going to come about. And I guess one of our issues is who's going to ride herd on that design process and make sure that it comports with the issues that you're raising
So I think that you know, this is more to provide us with comments, not to questions. I would recommend that you actually direct that comment in particular, that question in particular, to staff. So either
I'll phrase it as a comment. I think it's important that somebody rides herd on that. I'm not a designer, but somebody mentioned the word craftsman, and what I see looks like a colonial structure. So that would be something that I would encourage you to take a look at. And then on the plans as they come out, what I'm seeing is the external footprint of the structure, but not the internal. The original plan had the internal, but now it's talking 30 by 75. I don't know how many bedrooms. It could be fourplex apartments. And that's the kind of information that would really lower my anxiety about what's going in there. And then just to let it go, a couple of words on your document. One is it talks about a substantial structure, so that issue of mass, which you seem to be keenly aware of, is also one that we're interested in, is what is the mass of the thing with respect to the block. And then it talks about a small dormer, and that also is an interesting word. Is that three-bedroom dormer? So some precision in the description, I think, would be also useful. And then finally, notice. We received notice 2 days ago, and two people in the block seem to have received notice, but a number of people have not received notice. I think one of the things that would help our collective anxiety is good and effective notice in a timely fashion, so we're not catching it at the last minute, trying to scramble and say, what do we think about this? And I think communications from the city to the neighbors, from the developer to the neighbors, anything that will help explain what's going on would go a long way to furthering the interest. And I guess just one last point, and this is your own work, but is the project has to be performed exactly as described. That's in all caps. So my encouragement is that you follow your own instructions with respect to the project. But thank you very much for letting me speak. And those, you've got the bulk of them before I stepped up, but those were a couple of additional things I'd like to contribute to.
So I appreciate that. And I just wanted to kind of direct, so the question on the communications, I think we'll direct to the staff, and that could be a follow-up to, it sounds like, we don't need to address it right now, but it could be a follow-up that's noted for the communications with the neighborhood or the neighbors.
Sure. I mean, I can say just right at the outset that I think it was about 2 years ago the commission adopted a change in the protocol for substantial projects in the North Slope Historic District, where we delineated the adjacent property owners that would be noticed in the event of a project of this scale. It actually may have been this one in 2016.
Actually, it was larger than just the adjacent owners.
Well, I'm just going off the top of my head and not looking at the standards right now, but that's why that notice was sent out. Normally, it's just for normal design reviews, just the normal agenda issuance is published on the web every 2 weeks. And so that's why neighbors receive specific notice for this, is because of that policy change that the commission gave us a couple of years ago. So I'll make sure that was followed, that agenda went out at the same time that the commission received it as well. And this was a no action item too. So that is another thing to keep in mind.
But also it goes just to property owners, right?
Well, we send it to the adjacent. I can look at the list of exactly whom we sent it to, but we followed the commission's policies for notification for this project, and we did that for a briefing because of that policy change that the commission enacted some time ago. So that's why.
Thank you.
And the other thing I was going to point out was in terms of the bedrooms and the interiors, it's that things kind of that we don't review as a commission that might be more of a planning type of question than not sure. We wouldn't necessarily get that type of information in internal.
We request floor plans when it informs the design choices that are made in the exterior of the house, but this commission has no jurisdiction over the interior or the use of the building.
Just as a question, though, so if it became a six-plex apartment unit, have jurisdiction then, wouldn't you?
We would have jurisdiction. The commission has jurisdiction over the design of the exterior of the building, but anything that is constructed within the district has to meet zoning and has to meet the building code. So but that's not something this commission reviews.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Were there others who wanted to come up? Yes. Can you come up and state your name?
My name is Karen Harding, and I live right next door, and I'm the one that we share that property line. So I just want to encourage you to whatever you can do to pay attention to move that house a little bit away from ours. And just a historical note, we've owned our house for about 40-some years, and when we bought the house, we were told that when our house was built, they were sure that this place next door was going to be torn down because it was kind of, I don't know why exactly. And so, but it has never been torn down until now. But the setback thing is just it's an issue for me. So I hope that you will.
Can you clarify what you mean by the setback issue?
Well, our house and the old house.
You mean the side yard setback?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the four.
You're not talking about the front.
No,
setback.
I mean I think I would appreciate the sense of consistency within the neighborhood in terms of how far we are from the street. That would be nice. But we have been so close to that house. Whatever you can do to give us a little bit of space.
Well, and it sounds like from the discussion here and from Ruben that there's not going to be a variance granted, so the variance would be something by this commission that would be needed for them to actually put that back in place, so that's not going to be something that happens, so it will have to follow the new code, which is out of our purview then, so it will be following the setback code,
which is like 6 feet from the line.
5 feet from the side lot line.
It's 5 feet, but it sounded like there was some leniency to go a little bit closer, but under some stricter fireproofing details.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
And the wall would be made farther, because that's the maximum of any part of the structure. So the roof overhang, that's the 5 foot.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
anyone? Oh, good. Thank you.
No? Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So now we will move on. And it's a good reminder to me that sometimes we have other people wanting to comment. We've had those sessions for actual public hearings where we have no public to make comments. So
I didn't think that we notified surrounding property owners unless that was a public hearing. Am I incorrect?
No, the commission updated the bylaws several years ago to provide for more than adjacent, but surrounding property owners to be notified when there was a substantial project that was going to occur. I think we defined it actually in the bylaws. I'd have to look exactly what the definition is.
Okay.
But just to make sure that if someone's going to build a new house or build a giant wing on a house, that the adjacent property owners weren't going to be surprised by that and have an opportunity to see the process in action. So that's what we did. So we did send an expanded agenda this time.
Okay.
It was the owners across the street, behind the alley, and on both sides.
Okay.
I thought it was larger than that.
What it says in the policy is what we did.
So, and that's for briefings or when we're actually going to make decisions, or is there a breakdown of that? Just when the project comes forward? No matter
well, what? Just knowing that we had that policy, I just asked that agenda be sent out, even for the briefing, because I figured if the interested property owners ought to be able to see the briefing before they see an action item. So
yeah. Okay. I have not been paying attention. Has this made the news?
No.
Oh, no. Very little makes the news in Tacoma anymore.
Why? People still working at the news.
The commission didn't see the Fishing Wars Memorial made the news.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was surprised that actually made the news, quite frankly.
That was a big deal last
night. It wasn't in Puyallup.
That's cool.
I think there were press releases sent out for that specifically, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So we'll move on now to preservation planning and board business. And staff has a update on the Urban Design Studio Project Advisory Group. It's going to be an awful acronym. UDSPAG.
UDSPAG. UDSPAG. No, it's the POG. POG.
POG. Okay, they get rid of the UDS.
At the last meeting, solicited interested parties or interested commissioners or an interested commissioner to participate in the Urban Design Studio or Project Advisory Group, which it was like, I think the mission is going to be to sort of set the parameters of how the Urban Design Studio plan is implemented, that sort of thing. And so, anyways, there's some questions about the time commitment. And Mesa Sheriff, the planner who's running this program, said, you know, starting in mid-June, probably every 6 weeks for, you know, 4 to 5 meetings. And that is what he expects right now to be the time commitment. I had a number of commissioners who sent interest to me. And so after talking with the chair, we decided that it would be good just to put that back on the agenda and bring it here so that you guys can fight for it. Anyways, that's my staff report.
Fantastic. So given that staff report and the information about the commitments, do we have interested commissioners?
So do we know these meetings are going to be in the evening?
I'm thinking most likely afternoon.
Or late afternoon. Okay.
Can we take this picture?
I'm still interested. I don't know what.
It's just making you upset.
Saber, I'm trying to look at it. It's over here, too.
Commissioner Williams has requested the screen blank.
Thank you.
I can't do it.
I can't get away from that.
There you go. Jeez.
Oh, there it is again.
There we go. Beautiful much picture.
Better.
Thank
much
you.
Much better.
Anxiety levels.
So it was through the back of your head.
Yeah.
Well, there's a screen here. I was like, oh my God.
Our commissioners, I forget exactly who was interested. I think we had 2 or 3 commissioners that were interested.
I had mentioned my interest, and I had emailed Ruben about it and said that if there was an architect position or another design position from this commission that was interested, that might be a better fit for this particular.
So you're withdrawing your excitement?
No, I'm interested. But if there is someone who has maybe a little bit better qualifications, I would be happy to allow. But, you know.
Defer?
So defer to yes, a more specialized professional for this particular advisory group. So, and also, I assume, Ruben, that they want only one representative as opposed to multiple.
I apologize. I think in the last meeting they may have described the number of people it's going to be several different subject matter experts represented, and then one of them is a Landmarks Commissioner coming from the Landmarks Commission. So.
But one consistent member, not a rotation.
Correct.
Of various commissioners.
You guys could throw him a curveball.
It's a rotating door.
I would love it.
You could designate one person and then like 9 alternates.
Or, you know, we could do it like at the UN, you know, where you have like 5 or 6 people sitting behind the person who is, you know, so you can turn around and consult.
Just whispering things.
Yeah.
Well, you have to wear those cool earphones. So Commissioner Mortensen's interested. Is that Commissioner McClintock?
Commissioner Mortensen has more experience and qualifications than I certainly do. So applying her rule, she would come before me.
Is that the Chatham House rule is now the Mortensen rule? Are there other commissioners who are interested? There were others.
A couple, yeah. I don't remember. It's not you. I was interested, but I think I would defer to someone else to take this role.
In a shocking turn of events at the Landmarks Preservation Commission, the commissioner who brought up deferring has now been deferred to twice. I need to write for the TNT. Are there any objections to Commissioner Mortensen representing us on the UDSPAG?
That's what happens. Should have just kept quiet.
I will now forever call it UDSPAG. Hearing none, Commissioner Mortensen is anointed the...
Is it the preservation? White smoker?
Yeah,
light the fire. Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
I will return and report.
And then, yeah, we can maybe that's something just to keep in mind with these folks that as those meetings happen, maybe the next or whatever, you can provide the commission with a briefing on the, we'll get it on the agenda. So
we can correct any things that you make it wrong.
Absolutely.
Except you can't when Commissioner Johnson says, more neon. You can't. It's like more cowbell.
More neon.
Okay, so moving on.
Why did I know that was coming?
we have the, my favorite portion of the agenda, the events and activities update.
So we're still in Preservation Month. Right?
Yep.
It's going really well. Thanks in part, in large part, to Deirdre, who is the intern and who's been really just managing everything. events have been going well and been well attended, but I want to bring your attention to the award ceremony that's happening this Friday at Courthouse Square, 6 to 8 p.m. It's turning into quite a large event.
Spectacle.
We will now be having the Puyallup Tribe attend to receive their award.
Awesome.
And Deputy Mayor will be there also to co-present with our chair. And then we're also having Professor Denica Miller speaking about the fishing treaty wars, and we'll be touring the historic courtroom. So I would encourage you all to attend that. I think it's going to be...
It might even be catered.
It will be catered. but it should be a pretty good event. And then after that, we have the Northeast Tacoma Bike Tour and the South Tacoma Walking Tour. Lots of interest in both of those also. Walking tours are getting sometimes 30 to 50 people now, so... come early, grab a spot in front of the line if you want to come. And,
do they have speakers or something, or bullhorns? Or?
They do, yeah, okay. They do have speakers, and several guides come, and it's all organized. And then thanks to our commissioners for leading the realtor workshop, Jeff Williams and Carol for doing the remodeling vintage workshop, vintage homes workshop, so that's now on the calendar, and you can just see it in the packet.
Will one of you guys be there for that in case?
Yes.
I get in trouble.
I'll be there.
Well,
someone needs
mine.
To be there now.
Yeah, I know.
There
I'm
going to be
start
a
mine out with, first, we don't tear things down.
Yes, that's always a good rule.
Good,
good
baseline.
And I'd like to put in, if you haven't, I was lucky enough when Soda was still, I think they're still occupying that building, or at least the person that I know who was occupying that building for Soda is not there any longer. I lucked into being able to see the courtroom as he grabbed one of the building owners, had us let in there. It was very impressive, especially for the history of Pacific Northwest. I mean, to stand in the Bolt courtroom, it's something I go around a lot to consultation meetings throughout the Puget Sound with different tribes, and you know, you hear about that decision constantly. So it's, I think it's a really impressive space, and hopefully one that eventually we can work on actually getting preserved in the city of Tacoma. So I'd encourage anyone that hasn't seen it to take advantage
of it. Is the one that's still set up as a courtroom, or
it is. It's I mean, you sit there, you can sit in the box and everything. It's
sure.
It's pretty amazing, yeah. And I've heard his chambers are still intact as well.
I knew one of them had been changed. So
we'll be in the one that's changed for the ceremony part, and then we'll be touring the one that's still intact.
Yeah. Good.
One other note on events, June 5th, there is a downtown architecture walk. It's being led by Downtown on the Go. And they're actually going to have two rounds during the day, and they're asking people to RSVP because they usually get a really good turnout for these. So if you're interested in that, I think former council member Bo is going to be leading that.
And that's on our Walking Toward website, so if you need the link to RSVP.
And I mean, every May, I think, probably say the same thing over and over again, is thank staff for making the incredible events that we have every May. I think that, I'm not out there looking at every other community's events, but I think ours are pretty substantial and impressive, and obviously the SHPO recognized that year as well. So I think that Lauren, having missed the recognition, you'd have to go back in the record and look at the praise that was bestowed for the award. Was that last time or two times ago? Thank you all very much for all the work you do on that. Finishing up now with chair comments, I am going to have one chair comment, and just know that given some of the discussions that have whirled around our honorable chamber over the past little while about something that came before us, I would like to thank the commission for, I think, a great deal of professionalism and decorum in the discussion.
You were scared, weren't you?
just say it was my entertainment for the evening. Looking forward to it.
Watching as I'll be controlled.
You mean we hit our pitchforks well?
We're still on the record.
Yes, we are still on the record. Yeah,
that's true.
That
we don't have any pitchforks.
There are no weapons
hidden
in the
or otherwise.
And as expected, the commission is a very professional body that adheres to the guidelines as they look at things coming before them. So
absolutely.
I appreciate it. I just want to say thank you. And with that, we'll adjourn the meeting.